Welcome back to the Early Retirement Podcast, and if you want to retire early, you likely will no longer have to worry about work, and not just likely, you won't have to worry about it because you're no longer working. However, you are going to have to think about where is health insurance going to come from if you want to retire early, and when I say early, before age 65. Before you're eligible for Medicare, you're going to want to consider, where do I buy health insurance to bridge that gap in coverage? Should you go to the private marketplace? Should you go get a second job? Should you look at a spouse's coverage? Those are all of the types of things that we're going to be talking about during today's episode. And once again, I just hop right into the episodes as opposed to having that intro. I shared that on a previous episode. So if you are new to the podcast, welcome. If you are a longtime listener, thank you for your support. My kind ask is that if you find anything in this episode helpful, please do rate it 5 stars and leave a kind review to let me know what has been helpful. I always love to hear how you guys are feeling about the podcast, ways I can improve the show, and just feedback. So thank you. It's been really fun getting to see the podcast grow over the past few years, and I want to help more people retire early. So thank you for helping me. The first thing here when it comes to an early retirement, when it comes to health insurance, is when do you qualify for Medicare? So one thing that people tend to forget about, and it's probably because it doesn't apply to you, but I couldn't sleep at night if I didn't at least say this so that you all know that this is an option, which is, you're right. In most cases, you only qualify for Medicare when you become 65. However, please note the following, which I, once again, unlikely it applies to you, but I just have to say it for my conscience, if that's okay. If you're under 65, you may be eligible to enroll in Medicare if you have ESRD, which is end stage renal disease, ALS, also called Lou Gehrig's disease, and the third one here, which is a disability, and you've been receiving Social Security benefits for a minimum of 2 years or 24 months. So that's just a quick disclaimer there. Some people go, there's no way before 65. These are just a few exceptions. Now let's get into the bulk of it. What are your early retirement health insurance options? Well, you have a few options. If you want to retire early, which once again, I categorize as before age 65, yes, there's investing and yes, there's all these withdrawal strategies and just fancy techniques that some I really like, some I feel can be simplified for successful retirement strategies, but health insurance is a big one, especially if you want to retire, call it at 55, you go, all right, I've got 10 years I need to bridge the gap for, and I know this can be expensive. So talk to me, this is coming from a listener question, of course, where they just said, talk to me about early retirement health insurance, which I love. Nothing fancy about it, no example, just talk to me about early retirement, both what your clients have done, both where are my access, you know, what are all the options here? So that's what I'm going to be talking about today. You have a few options. So let's just go through the quick list. I view 5 main options. Now there's more and I've done a YouTube video on it, but here are the 5 main options, which is COBRA, short-term health insurance, Medicaid, a part-time job, individual and family health insurance. And I'm pretending that you and your spouse retire together, or if you're single that you just retire. So there's no spouse potential coverage here. Okay. Just basic. COBRA. Once again, what is that? Well, it's a law that allows employees or please remember an employee's dependents to keep their group coverage through their former employer's health insurance plan. So COBRA, it lasts for 18 months after the employee has left the company, and sometimes it can be extended. If retiring 18 months before becoming eligible for Medicare, this could be a wonderful option to bridge that gap where you go, got it, I want to retire at 63 and a half, and all of a sudden I've shown that I'm in a good spot to do that financially. What should I do? Well, COBRA can be wonderful. It can keep your insurance, but what's the cost of that? That's what you're wondering, I imagine, is great. So I've got COBRA, but does that make more sense? Or is my price going to change? What happens to it? So once again, COBRA allows you to keep your current insurance. You don't have to worry about different coverage or your network, especially if you really like maybe your current doctor or you just like the plan. Sometimes it's as simple as that. You can typically expect to keep the same doctors, pharmacies, things like that. Now, it's important to note that only companies with a minimum of 20 employees must comply with COBRA and that it may be expensive. So if you're at a smaller company and you're going, oh my gosh, I'm going to get COBRA. I've thought about my retirement plan. I've thought about my early retirement health insurance. Well, just take a pause there and ask your employer, especially the HR department handling that, Is that the reality for you? Because if not, we don't want to plan on it. And then all of a sudden you're hit with a big surprise, even if it is a short-term surprise in the sense of a big cost, it is short-term, knowing it will go away. It's not one of those things that's going to happen forever. Tying it back to retirement expenses, if this analogy resonates at all, when you retire, there are certain expenses that are going to go up. Maybe you want to spend more on travel. Maybe you want to spend more on children. You have more time. You have more energy. You have more health. There's also things that are going to go away. You're no longer contributing to a 401k or a 403b or 457. You no longer are going, great, now all of a sudden, I need to make sure I'm saving extra dollars for retirement because you're there. So COBRA can be a wonderful option. Now, what we want to do is focus on the price. So you want to ask your employer if you're going to be able to keep that same level of coverage, that same price, or if any changes will occur. Number two, short-term health insurance, rarely considered. And this is not the secret weapon, not the dark horse, but it's rarely considered. And I have a few clients who have used this successfully. Now, they didn't have major healthcare concerns, so they weren't worried when getting this, but short-term health insurance can be a great option. It's an option that you have in most states. It's a cheaper alternative to going out and buying your own individual or family health insurance policy to bridge that gap, once again, between retiring and then enrolling in Medicare. Now, short-term health insurance is cheap, but these plans offer significantly less comprehensive coverage. So it's not cheap for cheap's sake. You're getting less coverage. So please know you could be denied or charged more for short-term health insurance, depending on your conditions, of course. But this option, although less comprehensive, can avoid steep healthcare bills. Now, it's going to avoid, you know, worst case scenario, cancer, just really serious conditions. It's going to provide coverage for that. But if you have a doctor you go to regularly or a pharmacy or just big health concerns, it might not be the best option. So there are certainly resources where you can determine, great, where should I go? How do I think about this? ehealthinsurance.com, that helps you find insurance in your area. And there are great agents that my clients have shared with me that they've had great experience with them. So number two there, short-term health insurance. Number three, Medicaid. And to qualify for Medicaid, you must have a certain income requirement. You also must be a US citizen. I don't imagine that's a big impact to most of you listening, but please know, it's important to know if you qualify for Medicaid, this is going to be probably the cheapest option for health insurance, though it's important to note that unlike Medicare, Medicaid is not accepted by just about 90% of doctors. So it might mean you need a new doctor. It might mean that you need a new pharmacy. It just might mean there's more stuff. And that income requirement, that's the biggest variable here that most people end up not being able to get it. So simple enough on Medicaid. A part-time job, this is one that may sound silly when I bring it up, but finding a part-time job, it can offer the ability to get your health insurance. But on top of that, you might be thinking, well, I've always thought about getting some part-time income. And I've heard your episode on how even though it's a much lesser amount than your high earning years, even if it's called $15,000 or $20,000 in a given year compared to what you are likely making during your peak earning years, it still can play a big role. And the reason for that is it's not just $20,000, for example, that's coming in. It's $20,000 less dollars that needs to come from your portfolio, allowing that to compound even further. So if you find that, you know, you have too much free time on your hands, or you've already been thinking about part-time income in retirement, going back to work and getting part-time income, it's certainly worth considering when you're looking at the different jobs, where can you get health insurance? And not only does it, of course, allow you to do a fun job, of course, if you find it fun, but it's going to be less demanding than full-time job, less commitment, but it's a great opportunity to go into something that you already want to do. And if you're evaluating your different options and there's one that has great health insurance, well, that's certainly something we want to consider. The other one here, individual and family health insurance. This is the big one, which is, hey, when should I go to the private marketplace? How do I think about that? Sometimes buying your own health insurance, the reality might be your only, might even be your best option before Medicare. Now, navigating the health insurance marketplace can be overwhelming. It can be difficult, especially if for the majority of your career, I imagine, and I'm just taking a guess here, is that you've had health insurance through your employer. Once again, there is a company, eHealth, and they help guide people through that. You can enroll in health insurance during the annual open enrollment period that runs from November 15th through December 15th in most states, so that coverage starts on January 1st. However, you will likely qualify for a special enrollment period when you do retire. So at the end of the day, you want to find the right insurance plan for you. It might be $600 or $700 a month, and you might be going, oh my gosh, Ari, that's such a big expense, especially if I'm going to retire early and that's 5-10 years. Well, what do we do about it? Well, one, we think about your health concerns and we go, number one, if there's not major health concerns, does short-term health insurance play a role? It may, but oftentimes we just need to factor in that other expense. And more often than not, people go, Ari, I want to travel. I have my energy. I have my health. I'm not so concerned about the health insurance side. I'm more concerned about, hey, what if something really, really tragic happens? And now all of a sudden, that's going to impact my whole portfolio, everything I worked for. So this is an example where the best offense really is defense, where how can we protect our portfolio? And we need to sometimes go out to that private marketplace if COBRA is not an option, if the pricing isn't sufficient there, if you don't go, hey, I'm getting tremendous value for the fee I'm paying. Well, COBRA can be wonderful. It might not be if you look at the prices there. Maybe you go to the private marketplace and see, wow, maybe it's $500, $600, $700 a month, but I'm getting everything I want. I'm getting that same coverage. And if my plan tells me I'm in a position to do so, then wonderful. I don't want you second guessing that coverage. The biggest thing I see, and what my clients have shared with me, is that they retire, they feel that they don't want to pay this extra fee, and then all of a sudden something happens, or they just said, why didn't I pay that fee, especially if my plan showed me I had the ability to do so. I'm going to share just a super quick story on health insurance, but mainly on early retirement. And then I promise this is it for the episode today, which is, once again, went through all of health insurance, the five major considerations. I have a YouTube video where I go into the specifics and put deeper examples. So feel free to check that out. A complete guide to an early retirement with health insurance on my YouTube channel, which is in the description below. But I had someone who come to me and they said, Ari, I've been saving and investing really well. I said, wonderful. What does that mean for your assets? What does this mean for your retirement goals? They go, Ari, I've got about $5 to $7 million, but it's all locked away. And the reason for that is I saved and invested well. I did my 401k from the day I started working, but I never thought I would want an early retirement. I said, okay, what makes you bring that up? And they said, well, what makes me bring it up is I loved what I was doing. I love my career. And all of a sudden, management changed and I don't love my boss. In fact, I hate my boss and I am miserable going to work. And I'm 53 and a half today and I want to be done tomorrow. I said, okay, what about maybe some part-time income bridging the gap? Especially it sounds prospect like all of your assets are tied up in qualified money. What are your thoughts there? And they go, well, I'm not super savvy with computers and I really like what I get to do as an engineer day to day. And I live in a small town, so there's just not a ton of options for me there. And we talked and talked, and what he shared with me at the end of the day was that I wish I had another asset I could pull from without paying the penalty, something like a brokerage account, like an individual or taxable account, where you intentionally give up the benefits of a 401k on the tax side or an IRA, excuse me, or a Roth IRA. And you do that so that you can have the ability to pull from these funds. Yes, you pay taxes on those capital gains, but if your income is really low, you can do tax gain harvesting and pay taxes at 0% up to certain tax brackets. But on top of that, the message I want you to come away with, or the moral of the story here of why I even bring that up, is that he could take a 10% penalty on his assets and be more than fine. Let's assume it's that $7 million. Well, he could take a 10% hit and pay taxes on that, of course, if he wanted to touch into these funds. But right off the bat, $700,000 plus the tax. Now he's thinking, hey, I don't want to do that. I don't want to just have $700,000 erode right away, even though he says that that would allow him to do everything he wants to do. Now, I'm not recommending that he does that, but connecting this back to health insurance, well, you might be in a position where you can easily reach that $600-$700 a month goal if you've saved and invested well. And if that's you, you're probably thinking, okay, based off that story you just shared, how does that mean this impacts my retirement? Well, the way it impacts your retirement is if you're not in a position to be able to comfortably spend that extra amount on health insurance if you want to retire early, maybe second guess retiring early, and I don't mean altogether, I mean by a few months, by a year. Really make sure that when you retire, you're doing everything comfortably. The last thing I want is for you to retire early. Now you're comfortable with this lifestyle, and now all of a sudden you might have to go back into the workforce. And that can be whether you have, you know, the desire to spend $5,000 a month or $15,000 a month. So this prospect I spoke with shared with me, number one, they said, tell more people to have a brokerage account in case you want to retire early. He had no interest in retiring early until he did. And he shared with me that, just talk that more on your audience. So sharing that with you all now. But in addition to that, it's when it comes to health insurance, there are a ton of different options. You, of course, want to evaluate what makes most sense for you based off of your health, based off of retirement expenses, based off of your investing strategy and your tax situation. So a lot goes into this, but that was it for today's episode. I hope that it was helpful. Once again, if there's any specific episode you want a topic on, you can submit a question on my website. You can email me. You can also comment on my YouTube channel. And I always say it's more fun to retire with your friends. So if this has been helpful, once again, please feel free to share this with your friends. And lastly, this is what I love to do. I love to help people retire early. So I hope that this has been helpful. I hope that when you think of your custom strategy, you're able to go, great, when it comes to health insurance, I know I need a plan. And once you have that plan, you don't have to second guess it. You can retire early and do more of the things that you've been waiting to do. More time with travel, more time with grandchildren, more time with your spouse, hobbies you've had to put off for so many years. So I hope this has been helpful, and I'll see y'all next week. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Early Retirement Show. If you have a question that you want answered in a future episode, you can always go to my website, earlyretirementpodcast.com. That's earlyretirementpodcast.com. And you can go ahead and submit a question that I'll look to answer in a future episode. Thank you all for listening. Please do rate it, review it, and share it with someone who you think would benefit from this information, if there's anyone out there that you know. I certainly appreciate it, and I will see you all each week. Hey guys, it's me again. Please be smart about this. Nothing in this podcast should be construed as financial, tax, or legal advice. Consult with your tax preparer or financial advisor before taking any action. This podcast is for informational purposes only.